I want to talk about living with confidence today and talk about our relationship with God. It's pretty basic and maybe a review for some of you, but for others of us, so we really need to think well and hard about this. Broken relationships, we've all had them. We've all had them. Friends have moved away, or you've moved away, and what were close friends become more and more distant over time. Or perhaps it's been a broken relationship when a loved one dies, and your heart is breaking because you know that relationship is gone. Or when a family member breaks off contact and says, I just don't want any part in the family anymore. Or worse, when parents have failed to love a child and they grow up never having the support, the love, the unconditional concern that you should receive from a parent. Or even when they have accepted abuse or neglect and thought it was normal because they didn't know anything else. Some people are traumatized when at age 10 or 15 or 20 or 30, their parents divorce and there's a brokenness there and it's not the same anymore. It can come in a number of ways, but we all know and experience the fact that none of our relationships are permanent. Even the most committed, even the most reliable, someone is going to die before the other, and the relationship is broken again. We are made for relationships. We are made to have secure, warm, reliable relationships. But we are human, and all of us fail in relationships from time to time. The good news, of course, from God is that He offers the one and only reliable, fully reliable relationship. And that's found in the good news of Jesus, who came saying, the kingdom of God is among you. I'm here, and God is at work, and you can know Him, and you can know me. What I've always liked about the gospel, I first really was strongly impressed with this in Romans chapter 1, but the fact that the gospel is, when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, one of the things that I love about the good news about Jesus is that it fits every race, it fits every region, it fits with every language, it fits with every culture, makes no distinction of wealth or education or skills. It is a gospel to everyone, and that Jesus lives that out as He reaches out to some of the outcasts in the community. It's a wonderful good news that we share. And there should be in all of our lives a confidence in the love of God and the work of Christ. So, review for many of you, but nonetheless an important review. Four times in this letter, John uses the word confidence. And he does that because that's one of his themes. One of his themes is he wants us to really enjoy a confident relationship with God. Because, as I've said, there are many people, and we've met some of them, who never have experienced a confident human relationship. Relationships have always been interrupted, broken down, deserted, whatever. And so to introduce them to the fact that you can know God and know that your relationship is totally confident is a wonderful thing. Some of us who may have grown up in warm, loving homes and warm, loving churches, we may never have experienced that. But there is a world out there of people who have experienced broken relationships, and God offers us so much more. So here's the theme. Every Christian can enjoy a confident spiritual life because of four biblical securities we're going to look at this short passage today. A confident relationship, a confident conversation, a confident conversation, and a confident fellowship. And so we're going to read these three slides together. Would you stand, please, as we read Scripture? And I'm going to find my phone here so I know. That's what I really need. Thank you, hon. So reading together with me, this is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in him. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In a world of security, having a heart at rest, a heart in confidence that I am loved by God and I belong to Him, is something, as I say, some of us may have become accustomed to. We take it for granted, but we shouldn't, because it is really an amazing thing to offer to people who lack security in relationships. In our turbulent times now, very few people have security in their job, in their business, their company. Will it be bought out and it's a whole change in management and suddenly you've lost your job? Whether it is that the board has been fired in a hospital and now you've got to do something different. All these kind of relationships hang on different things. There is an old joke, and I'll tell it about the Maple Leafs since they're a point of interest right now. The general manager of the Maple Leafs has just been fired, and a new general manager has been hired, and he comes to the office, and as he's opening the drawers in the desk that's been left behind, he sees there's a message there. And the message says, from the former manager to the new manager. And he says, oh, that's nice. These are two envelopes. Open the first one if you get into a really great difficulty. And the second one for your second great difficulty. He thought, man, that is really thoughtful. And so he goes along, and if you're managing the Maple Leafs, if you've ever followed them, there are lots of problems that pop up. They do really well, and then they disappoint people. We're hoping differently tonight. But he's going along, and then suddenly there is a major problem, and he's under the gun. The press is all over him, and he remembers those envelopes. I got to go see. He seemed to have a solution, so he opens the first envelope, and it says, if you're having a big problem, blame it on me, the former manager. He thought, great, I'll do that. He's the guy who hired these players. He's the guy who, and he blames him, and things settle down, and he has a lease on life. Goes along well for another year or so, and then things get really tough again. And he remembers, I've got a second envelope in there. That one was so helpful. I've got to open the second envelope. He opens the second envelope, and it says, prepare two envelopes. There's not a lot of security in managing a hockey team, and there's not a lot of security in most relationships. But what we can say as Christians is there, God has no two envelopes. God is one who we can depend on, that we are not in a vulnerable relationship with Him. And if you have had a difficult background, or if you've been burned in relationships, sometimes we think, well, God must be somewhat like that. And we need to really understand, no. I have met people who are, in fact, somebody mentioned just recently in a situation where I was, they're just not sure they can trust God totally. And my life lesson in that was when I was a really mature 22-year-old, and I had dated a young woman, and I fell in love. At the end of the day, I'd known her for 2 months, so it was a strong time leading up to it, 2 months. We were friends, but I dated her, and I thought, man, I am head over heels. I went back to my roommate, and I said, I think I just dated my wife. It took me about 3 months to convince her that she should become my wife. And during that time, I realized, because I'd never been that taken by any woman before, I'm thinking to myself, man, Nelson, you love her so much. And I'm talking to myself, you really are vulnerable now. Like, you've opened yourself up to this woman, and if she walks away, you're really going to be broke, you know. And so I wrestled not with that I would never date another woman. I was wrestling with, can I really be that vulnerable? Can I really trust somebody that much? And thankfully, I could, and 58 years later, I'm certain I made the right choice. But the vulnerability thing was a real concern for me. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not open with God. I mean, there's some people who have things happen in their life and they don't talk to God about it. Like, they're not sure God would want to know. You know, as though God doesn't know without you even talking to Him. That He knows us and He loves us. And if we've come to faith in Jesus, then we've experienced that wonderful, wonderful love. And we have so much in the Word of God that talks about the love of God. In fact, when Dave was preaching several weeks ago when we were in Victoria, I told him he was preaching from perhaps my favorite passage in the First John, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, where it speaks about, look at the lavish love that God has for us, that we are called the children of God, and that's what we are. I love that. John says, we're called the children of God, and that's what we are when we have faith in Christ. And then he says, and the world doesn't know it, but it's okay because they didn't know Christ. So, in other words, if you think, well, if I'm so delighted, if it's such a privilege to be a child of God, why doesn't anybody in my family appreciate that? It's because people like that didn't accept Christ either. And so recognize you are a child of God and you are in this relationship secure as can be. And so John is talking about family security. And in fact, just picking up from the passage that Connor preached on last week, in John chapter 3, verse 11, John writes, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And then down in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And then in verse 18, just before the passage we had on the screen, Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And you'll remember Connor talked about that. Love, love, love. Three times in that section he was preaching on. And now John starts in this passage, but this then is how we know. This then is how we know. How we know what? This is how we know that we belong to the truth and we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Why? Because we have begun to love people, because God's begun to change us, and we sense that he's changing us. My relationship with people is changing. My appreciation for the truth of God is changing. And that is the signature or the sign for me that, in fact, I am in a secure, confident relationship because of this wonderful proof that God is changing me. In fact, as I was going over the notes and actually scribbled in just a couple of things a couple of hours ago, and I was thinking to myself, I still remember because I tend to be kind of purpose-driven. I like to do things and accomplish things, and so I've always enjoyed that kind of challenge. And so I really loved the challenge of teaching Bible college, and I really love giving to the students the truth of God. But I probably wasn't as good at loving them. I thought I was, but not as good at loving them as I should have been. And I was aware of this, that I'd like to do things. I'd walk by a student because I was on the way to study. Instead of stopping to say hello to the student, I was ignoring the people to do something. And then about age 32 or 33, I still remember it because it was such a shock to me. We'd helped a little church for a while, and someone in the church said to me, Nelson, we appreciated having you because you really taught us how to love. And I thought, excuse me? Who are you talking to? That's not my character. That's not me. God, you must be doing something in my life. If they've seen me being loving, this is a breakthrough for me. I've been praying for it. I've been trying to become loving, but it was a sign that God was at work in my life, and I had a long way yet to go. But at least that was a reminder to me that, yes, I do have a relationship with God. And so that love concept that was in the passage Connor preached last week, we'll see it again in chapter 4. This evidence of love is one of the signs that we are in this secure relationship. Secondly, the security of a confident conscience. This then is how we know, John writes, and it's sorry, I made a mistake on the slide. It should be verse 19 and 20. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. The security of a confident conscience. The word translated here as we set our hearts at rest can easily be and does mean the same thing as we mean by our conscience. It is our conscience that convicts us. But only if we have a good conscience is it a help. Let me just try a little experiment on you. Okay, I want you to close your eyes now, and there will be about three or four of you who don't. So close your eyes, even if you're one of those people. Come on, I'm watching you, eyes closed. eyes closed. It's okay, I'm not going to do anything shocking, but eyes are closed. And so now I want to ask you, without opening your eyes, don't open your eyes till I tell you you can, I want you to put your hand up, one hand up, and I want you to put your hand up above your shoulder, and I want you to point east. Point east. Okay, everybody pointing east. Hands up high. Come on, we want to see them. Which way are you pointing? We're pointing east, okay? Now keep your hand up, and everybody open your eyes, look around, okay? Many people are pointing that way, but others are pointing that way and that way. This is east, right behind me, okay? Now, what happened there? Your compass was wrong. You had a wrong compass and you pointed the wrong way. What I'm illustrating is there are people who are not bothered by sin because their conscience, their compass, has not been trained by the Word of God. If you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, more and more, your conscience should be lined up with the Word of God. The more you read the Word of God, the more you study it, the more you are thinking and reacting in a way that lines up with God's compass. And so then the conscience becomes a great help. It warns me, no, don't do that, Nelson. That's not pleasing to God. It convicts me, Nelson, you just said that kind of thing. That was a hurtful thing. You are wrong. That was sinful to say that. And so my conscience can stop me from doing something wrong. It convicts me when I do or say something wrong. It is a great help to us. But on the other hand, the other extreme is that if I'm not careful, if I have a sensitive conscience, now I'm talking only some of you, because some of you, this would never happen to you. But some of you, if your conscience is sensitive, it can really be convicting you a lot, and it can drag you down. Because after the third time, after you have made the same sin, and you're asking for forgiveness, there's a part of you that thinks, I don't know why I expect you to forgive me, God. I mean, I'm embarrassed to come to you asking for forgiveness. I don't know that I should, and I don't know that you should forgive me. And so if we've been sensitized to sin and to God's holiness, we also need to make sure we are well informed by God's grace and by His love and His goodness, so that when we are rightly, when we are embarrassed, and I certainly know that feeling, being embarrassed, I'm coming back to you, God, again, then I have to remind myself, no, God, you also are gracious and forgiving and loving. We read it in Psalm 103. If you didn't hear it when it was being read to you today, go back and read Psalm 103. It tells us very clearly that God is a gracious God, loving God, forgiving God. And we need to make sure that when we feel like we are not worthy, and it's right in a sense to feel not worthy because we know how holy and great God is and how far short we often fall. When we have those feelings, we must not think God treats us like humans treat us, but rather that He is a gracious God, that He is a forgiving God. And I have to affirm what I know, what you know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know God is forgiving. In fact, in Psalm 103, it says, as a father has compassion on his children. That's what was just read to us. As a father has compassion, a good father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all those who obey him. He is a compassionate God. And so what is John saying in this passage? He is saying, remember, remember, this is how God is. God is compassionate. And so he writes in verse 19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth, and we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Now, if you have a heart that's at rest in God's presence all the time, you may have a problem. Your conscience may not be working enough. You ought to be embarrassed sometimes. You ought to feel badly sometimes when you fall short. But then it is at that time, and that's what John is speaking to, at that time, we remind ourselves of who God is, and our conscience is at rest in His presence. It's wonderful, wonderful to have a confident conscience. And we get that if we talk to ourselves with biblical truth. If we don't, then it depends on my feelings, and I can't trust my feelings. I love the story, I don't know where I came across it, about a father who had a six-month-old who was really upset and had probably been sent out to the park by his wife because she was tired of taking care of this this colicky baby. And so he's walking around the park, it's a playground, and he's walking around the playground with his six-month on his shoulders, and he's just saying, Malcolm, it's okay. Malcolm, it's all right. And he's saying this, and as he's doing this, there's an elderly lady sitting there, and she hears him go by. Now, Malcolm, it's all right. Settle down. It's okay. It's okay. And he keeps saying this, and the third time that he walks around, she says to him, that's such a wonderful name you have for a child. Malcolm is a lovely name. Oh, he says, oh, sorry, the baby's name is Stuart. I'm Malcolm. It's okay, Malcolm. You have to talk to yourself. You have to talk to yourself. And so when it comes to feeling guilty and thinking, I hope God isn't noticing, or I know God is noticing, and I feel, no, I need to talk to myself and say, no, he's a forgiving God. He's a gracious God. Doesn't excuse sin, but it means I'm in this confident relationship with a confident conscience. And then thirdly, the security of a confident conversation. We receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. 1 John 3, verse 22. Do what pleases him. Jesus taught John, and John is teaching us to pray with confidence. We could put on the slide the Lord's Prayer. We won't say it together, and this is kind of a modern one, but we know that we've been taught to pray to our Father in heaven, that his name is holy, praying that his kingdom will be come, will his will be done. And then we are prayed also to give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. We are to share all of life with him. We can come to him with full confidence in prayer. But then what about those phrases? And this isn't the only one. Haven't you read them in the New Testament? Don't they bother you sometimes? For John writes, we receive from him anything we ask. That seems pretty strong. How do we deal with that? So I thought I'd do a little review with you, although I know it is a review for most of you. I was just thinking of it this way. Here's Dad A, Dad number one. And his 16-year-old son comes to him and says, Dad, would you buy me a car? I just turned 16, and some dads do that. And Dad says, yes, I will. Let's go out tomorrow. We'll find a car for you. Dad 2 is asked the same question. Hey, Dad, would you buy me a car? And he says, well, son, you haven't taken driver's ed yet. If you take driver's ed, and if you take the test and you pass it, and then if you drive responsibly with your mom and me when we're in the car, then yeah, we'll buy the car. And then Dad number 3 is asked the same question. Dad, would you buy me a car? And Dad says, well, son, I know you've got your license, but I don't know that you are really responsible enough. You know, the insurance rates are high for teenagers. The reason? Because they're not very mature. Because they think they're better than they are, and they're faster than they are. And so, son, we need to watch and wait till you mature, son. And maybe age 19, age 20, when we see that you've matured, then we'll get you a car. Dad 4 is asked the same question, and he says, no, son. We don't think we should buy you a car. We don't have the money, really, but we also know it would be best for you to earn the car. So no, we will not buy you a car. Somebody put God's answer to prayer in those terms when they said God answers prayer always. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says go. Sometimes he says grow. Sometimes he says, whoops, I started the wrong way, didn't I? You were thinking, man, that's a pretty negative sermon to do that. No, sometimes he says, go, I'll buy the car right away. You got your answer to prayer. Sometimes he says, slow, I'm going to answer your prayer, but I'm not going to answer it right away. That's happened in my life a lot. Has it happened in yours? Yes, the answer will come, but not right away. Sometimes he says, not just slow, but grow. You need to grow, and so I'm going to put you through this difficult time, even though you've prayed to be relieved of it. Now he's saying, you're going to grow through that. And then sometimes he just says, no, that was not a prayer that's in line with my will. So how do we balance these things? And I might as well tell you my answer before I take you through the scriptures. I'm going to take you through a number of scriptures that really tell us these kind of things, a mystery that we have to hold together, okay? So really quickly, on the slide, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Jesus says, whatever you ask, you have to have the faith, says believe, and you need to be in a forgiving spirit. And then John, writing just what we've just read, we receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Obey and please him. John chapter 15, verse 17, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Or again, John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. If you remain in me, if you have, you're bearing fruit. Then we come to another couple of passages. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So James says, your motives aren't right, then of course you're not going to get what you're asking for. And one more, 1 John 5, 14, 15, we'll come to later on in this series. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that we have what we asked of him. In each of these passages, you notice it's not just a blank check. It's not just you ask, and he'll give it to you. No, it's if you obey, if you believe, if you're forgiving, if you are in me. All of those kind of things that are there. And so that's how I handle those what seem to be blank checks, and then, okay, I'll check these all boxes. And what God apparently does want us to do is to bring our wills in line with his will. And so when we are asking what we know is his will. We are in line with him. And so we can say, Father, I believe this is in line with exactly what you want, and that's what we're asking for. And there remains a mystery, but we are told and we know God always hears our prayer. And he is keen to answer our prayers when they are good for us and glorifying to him. Confident in prayer. Remember, sometimes God does say go, but often slow or grow or no. Finally, the security of a confident fellowship. And this is his command, we just read, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his command live in him and he in them. John, verse 23, verse 24. Live in him and he in them. The confidence of a warm fellowship with God. When Jan and I used to do marital seminars and taught on marriage, one of the things we would often say to couples is to build a secure relationship, you never use the divorce word. You know, some couples, one or the other or both of them, are kind of hot-tempered and they threaten things. We would say, never, never threaten divorce. Never threaten, I'll leave you if. You can't build a confident relationship if you think someone may walk out. You got angry, I disappointed you, so you're walking out. No, never have, get that out of your vocabulary. If you're feeling like that, go for counseling. Bow your knees in prayer and pray hard, but don't do that. Now, of course, if there's abuse involved, that's another thing altogether. But we were counseling them, you've got to build a confident relationship. It doesn't just happen. And so those who are doing that in marriage, as you know, they're couples that work at staying close. They're couples who take time to listen, really listen to each other and really talk with each other. They remain emotionally connected and physically connected. They share the dreams. They build the security of a confident fellowship. And in a similar way, God is telling us we build a relationship with him. He's giving us a relationship, but now to live in him, to let him live in us. This idea of I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, this idea of living together, that doesn't just happen. We must practice the presence of God. Now maybe you've been doing that for years, but maybe you need to remind it that you need to live daily, hourly, conscious that God is with you. God is always with you. I've been amazed to see some Christians who don't seem to get that. And so they are that way when they're there, and they're that way when they're here. And it's as though, it's a little bit like when I'm golfing with somebody who doesn't know me, and we get on the golf course, and they're swearing or something, and somebody says, you know, he's a pastor. And they turn to me, I'm so sorry. You know, and I often just say, it's okay. But sometimes I say, well, really, you should apologize to God, not me. Don't you think God is listening? Why would you worry about a pastor hearing this? You know, the idea that we always practice the presence of God so that we know He is with us. When you're driving the car, do you talk to God? When you're going to have a tough telephone conversation, do you talk to God before you have that? Do you practice the presence of God? This whole idea of enjoying living in this secure relationship, having this intimate fellowship with God, doesn't come automatically. It takes practice. It takes commitment. And so that more and more my mind is filled with Scripture, my mind is filled with God, and so I don't suddenly feel alone, because I'm always, always enjoying the fellowship of God, always practicing His presence. And so John is finishing up in this last verse in our passage. He says, those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. If I'm disobeying God, of course I don't want to practice His presence. I'd like to thank God you stayed out there when I went into this theater and watched something that I know you wouldn't want me to watch. I hope you weren't there when I lost my temper and I don't want God to be present if I am following a sinful pattern. But if I'm following the pattern that I should, then I'm enjoying the fact. And so God is reminding me in this verse, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. And that takes me way back to what I was saying earlier. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in us, reminds us that we are the children of God, that we are in this wonderful, confident relationship, that we know this, not because I fully understand and know what I should believe. No, I don't fully understand the truth, but there's some biblical truth that I do understand and I believe it. Do I always treat others in a loving way? No, I don't, but I'm working at that and I'm learning to treat them in a more loving way. Do I always obey the commands and structures of Scripture? No, I don't, but I'm seeking to do that. And I know that I have that desire, and I know my conscience stops me when I don't, because the Spirit lives in me. And that testimony of the Spirit, that you are convicted about that, that you want to do that service that you wouldn't normally want to help that person. That's the signal from the Spirit. Hey, I'm alive in you and I'm changing you. And that's to be the confidence that we have, that the testimony of the Spirit, Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 8, the same thing, that testimony of the Spirit, that we belong to God, that He's at work in us, and therefore we don't need to be insecure. In the worst times, when you wake up at night and you're thinking about the bad things of the day before, you're conscious of the fact that you have not lived the way you should, that you've been really disappointed by someone else, and you're very conscious of that, and you think to myself or to yourself, I don't know how much I'm disappointing God, but I really don't think He's got to be pleased with me right now. I need to talk to myself. Or when you are in real pain and you're wondering, God, why are you letting me go through this physical pain or this spiritual pain or this emotional pain that I'm going through because of some relationship? If you remember, God, thank you that you are with me always and that you love me and that I can relax and rest in your presence and your love for me. And so I have, as John does, and he'll do it again. We've gone over some familiar territory. But to remind you, that's the kind of relationship God wants you to enjoy. Every day, every hour, you can enjoy this confident spiritual life because of these four biblical securities: confident relationship, confident conscience, confident conversation, confident fellowship. And with that kind of confidence and security, we can risk loving others even more than we do now. We can risk reaching out to people who may just push us away. But we follow Jesus, who loves that way, and we are called to love that way. I think it was either one of the two of you who prayed, I can't remember whether it was Josh or Dave, but prayed that we would be sensitive to unbelievers as me reaching out to them. Yeah, it's a little sometimes for those of us who are a little bit shy. You're a little hesitant because what if they say no and get out of my life? We need to, they never do, but we're afraid they'll do something like that. And we say, no, we're loved and we're secure in this relationship with God. We can reach out to new people, to people we don't know, to people who aren't like us. We can build relationships and we can draw them toward the great goodness of God, because we enjoy daily and for all eternity this marvelous, confident relationship with our loving God. Let's pray. Father, we do rejoice in your great love for us. And even as I bow my head to talk to you, I think how unworthy I am, how amazing that you have time for humans who keep disappointing you. How amazing that we who say we love you so often want to go our own way. It's amazing love. No wonder hymns are sung about it. Amazing love, amazing grace, amazing goodness. But Lord, help us to live in the confidence of being loved, of being secure with you. And out of that, may you help us then to risk loving others in new ways, in different ways, that we may please you. For that's what John writes in this passage, that we would be obedient and that we would be pleasing. We want to please you. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.